Right.
So truly, it's at a very exciting time, exciting season to be in. And a lot of things are happening for us, and a lot of prophetic words that are exciting has been given as well. So position yourselves to receive all this as we step in, as we get connected. This is all going to happen to us. Amen? All right, let's declare, oh hallelujah, when we praise Him, because it's connected to what my message is, because as we know how great our God is, as we know how loving our Father in heaven is, as we know Him as this great and mighty King, we have no other response or reaction we can have except to just praise Him. Amen? All right. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Amen. Amen. All right. Today, this few weeks, since we started the life group lesson on David, how he strengthened himself in the Lord, it ties back to me, as you know that my theme has been is that being a son, okay, son of the house, and to be a proper son of the house, we need to really understand how or why is it that God desires us to be sons of God. Why does He use this child of God? Why does He use this language, this very relational language? And as I begin to see how David, right, and we all know from my previous sermon, where we talk about embracing great destiny, right? And then it just happens that when we learn about David was given a great destiny. He was to be a king. But how he got there, how he strengthened himself in the Lord, it's like the key there is he knows who his God is and how he knows to strengthen himself in God. So it's like, to me, it just speaks to me like, although David is not known, quote-unquote, as son of God, but he demonstrated a perfect example of how is it to be a son of God that depends on the Father. Yeah, who really knows the Father God and really knows his heart, and that he anchors his faith on that, and then he strengthens himself. And so I'm just going to share a bit about how is it that the more we know God as our Father, then our identity as son, we also know a lot more about it. Amen? Because we can go into like son of God, son, and then we focus on ourselves without realizing we are a son because of the Father, correct? Or we are a child of God because Father of God. Oh, Father, not Father of God. Because of Father God. Yeah? So, knowing who He is or knowing His heart establishes ourselves even more as a son. So, this is the context of what I'm sharing today. So, is it working? Yep. Okay. So, this was the verse that I used last time about we know that we are no longer slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And I'll skip to verse 9 where it says, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, and then how is it that you turn again? So, it's like saying, Paul writing this letter to the Galatians, it's like saying, you already know God, or rather, God knows you. How come you can turn back again? Which means they didn't really know God as who He should be. Okay? And it goes into later in chapter 5, chapter 6. You know, Paul explained again what is it that the blood of Christ or Christ has pulled them out from. And then why are they coming back to bondage? You know, because maybe they didn't realize what was the purpose of their salvation. Okay? It wasn't to go back to the law. All right? So, if we go here, so my context today is about knowing God. Okay? Everyone say with me, knowing God. Okay? And read with me that scripture together. 1, 2, 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Everyone say with me, knowing God. Okay? So, as we begin to understand more and more about who God is, hopefully it reveals to us a lot more about ourselves as well, as Son of God. And a question about this is that, do we really know Him just knowing him outwardly, using our flesh, as Corinthians says, or do we know him inwardly, which means we know him through the intimacy in our spirit? Okay? Because even we say like the world know who Jesus is, right? Quote unquote, from what they read, from what they hear, they know who Jesus is, but do they really know? Not really. Okay? Whereas for us, now that we have that privilege of salvation, that access, that direct access to Father God, you know, let's all have our hearts tuned to him and having a desire to know him more and what is it really he wants us as sons of God to do. Amen? So, this was in the life group lessons where it says Psalms 103, right? Where he made his ways known to Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. Where the context is that the children of Israel only knows the acts of God, the works of God, but only Moses knew the heart of God, right? If we only knew the acts, we can turn like the Israelites where when things doesn't go right, then we start complaining already. We forget what God did before, and then we start complaining because we don't understand who God is. Then, even in 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says here, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. So, if we use natural thinking, natural mind to understand who God is, then what Paul is saying here, you may not actually know him. Okay, so this knowing, when we talk about the knowing, it's talking about deeper knowing about who he is. Amen? All right, so it's not just knowledge. It's not just whatever I share today, even though there's a different aspects of God that we should know. But all of it then is something we have to experience for ourselves. All of it then is that history that we build with God, we need to have that. We can hear people's testimony that gives us encouragement, have faith, but we need to experience it for ourselves. Amen? All right, so this is all this context. And now there's a call of prayer time, you know, or evangel being that house of prayer. I mean, one of the things about prayer is so that we communicate with him, right? So that we know the heart of God more and more until that we know him so much that when we pray, we are just basically listening what he's saying in heaven and just repeating here on earth that prayer. Amen? So this is the kind of increase we need to go up to, all right? And when I share this, when I put this together, it's more like how I've sort of grown. So it may be different for everyone here, but or you may think, and it's not just limited to what just I say, okay? Because God is way a lot more to learn, right? And each day there's more and more. But I'm just breaking it down a little bit so that we can understand, all right, this progression as we go into knowing God, okay? And let me read here the Acts 13. So this is about David, that when he removed him, so this is when God had removed Saul, he raised who? He raised for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. So this has been saying a lot of things about David. David is a man after God's heart, man after God's heart. But we see that because of that, because of his principle like that, he embraced his destiny by, you know, whatever rejection, whatever struggles he go through, he's able to overcome it because of this key thing that he has. He knew God. He knew God's heart. Amen? And to know God's heart so much that if we think about it, at that time, the Israelites had what? Sacrifice of animals. But suddenly David brought in this new, you know, new revelation or new revolution of, you know, bringing sacrifice of praise. It's like, how did he get that? He didn't get that from man. He got that from God, right? This is the kind of thing we want to, it's like, having that close relationship with God, suddenly we realize what he wants, rather than just reading from somewhere like or help guide books and all that, and then oh, let's try to work it out. But from connecting ourselves to the heart of God, then from there we move forward. Amen. All right. So these are all still context. Okay, not the. All right. So what I will share today is broken into three parts. Knowing God, or knowing God our Father as firstly our Savior, someone who saves us. Secondly is knowing Him as a Father. And the last one is knowing Him as the King. Okay, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right? And to put it in context, how these three has overlaps and all that, and how they come together, I read you a quote from the book "Strengthen Yourself in the Lord." This is not in the notes that we get from the in life group. It's the textbook, I guess you call it, right? And there's this quote here which really captured my heart. Okay, and basically is what I received the first time when I went to Moa, was that the salvation we receive that's not all in all. There is a lot more to that. Okay, and this is what is summarized in this statement. All right, maybe let's read together. Okay, 1, 2, 3. The blood of Jesus was not shed merely to save us from our sins, but to restore us to a relationship with God in which with Him as kings and priests to bring the planet under His rule and reign. We have delegated authority to establish His kingdom wherever the sole of our foot treads. Okay? So you can see already there is three aspects there and why I've broken up my message into three. Number one is the salvation aspect. Okay? How Jesus saves us, knowing God as our Savior. Then the second is that salvation is a door to having the relationship with God. And relationship with God the Father and we as Son of God or child of God. And then the last one is to partner with Him as kings and priests. Because if we know how great our King is, then we as the child of God can take on that authority, right? Because we are connected to Him. Just like a king and a prince, the prince uses the authority of the king, right? It's something like he doesn't even earn it. He doesn't even do anything. The king may be the first one who won battles and bring things together and people raise him like king. The son was just, what did he have to do? He was just need to be born and he just take on the kingship or the prince, right? And that is something that maybe is something we don't see it as much, that when we realize God as king, then we, when being born into His family, we become kings as well, okay? And this is something I also am trying to discover. What is it really mean, or how do we practically do it from our daily life, okay? Amen. All right. Okay, next. So, number one, everyone say with me, know God as our Savior. Now, I want to take this in a different twist. Obviously, we all know the salvation message, right? All of us here are saved, amen? All of us have received Jesus, yes, okay? So, I also want to point out, then what is the heart of the Savior for the people, all of us here, who are saved, okay? Obviously, salvation is takes us away or bring us away from judgment or heading towards hell. Okay? That's a great news, right? Amen? Hopefully that's what we all heard at one point and we realize we don't want to head that way and so we need Jesus. Right? But do we also know in this quote unquote salvation package, He also delivers us from diseases and destruction. As it says so in Psalms 103, He forgives our iniquity, but also He heals us from all our sicknesses and disease. Yeah? And we know that by His stripes, we are healed. Right? Amen? And then the other thing is that here in Galatians, it says that Christ has made us free. Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So, there is this desire of the Savior to bring us out from bondage. So, we all are free from something. Okay, then the next one is, we are free from sin, but become slaves of righteousness. And so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So, now coming back to the heart of the Savior. When we are saved from, let's take an example. I put there a lifeguard, right? If we are saved from the sea, okay, the sea is very dangerous, okay, you get drowned and all that. Now, if the lifeguard saves you from the sea, pull you out, okay, where does he want you to be? On a safe space, which is the beach at that time, all right? But if this person that's just been saved run back into the ocean that is going to drown him again, what do you think the heart of the Savior feels at that time? Ugh, very angry, right? So, for us then, when we are free, do we realize we are free from something, right? Jesus saves us out from our old ways, saves us out from the kingdom of darkness. But sometimes, maybe what we've done is we like to go back. The movie God's Not Dead, there was one where the scene where the old lady started speaking, even though she was senile and all that in the nursing home, but suddenly she started speaking. And that really captured me. It's like, sometimes we feel, or maybe people are like in prison with open doors, which means Jesus has saved them, or freedom, there is this opportunity, right? The prison door is open, but because the prison's so comfortable that they just stay inside. They don't want to come out. So that applies to, yes, non-believers, right? Because they hear the message, but after that they go, not really. I'm okay. I'm okay with my life. But a caution to all of us is, do we also sometimes say, oh, maybe it's better to go back, okay? Like the Israelites and things like that, okay? So realizing that now we are taken from, like, say, from one thing and then put to a safer, better place, okay? We have to think it that way, because the other thing is that we were once walking in darkness, all right? Through salvation, He enables us to walk in light. And what that means is that we are now in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Christ, okay? And the scripture is there. The other thing is that He saved us from the bondage of the flesh, okay, or the desire of the flesh. Now we are able to walk in the Spirit. So salvation is not just about, yay, my sins is forgiven, I'm on my way to heaven, yay. But there's a lot more to that, where when we receive our salvation, we are receiving a lot more than that. This freedom that we receive, are we treasuring this freedom, or are we using this freedom properly? Yeah, just like the example, are we using that freedom to then go back to the sea and to be drowned again, or are we using it now for a better purpose? Amen? All right? So I hope you understand where I'm trying to get this, is that when we understand the heart of the Savior, after he paid so much to take us out from bondage, what are we doing with this freedom now that we have? Right? Because now, and the Bible says that, use this freedom now to walk in righteousness. Use this freedom now to walk in holiness. Use this freedom now to walk in the Spirit, because all that bondage doesn't apply to us anymore. The thing that is of the flesh, the thing of the sin, would not affect us anymore because of what Jesus did for us. Amen? All right? So how do we apply this? Is that God really wants all of us, once we are saved, is to walk in righteousness, to walk in holiness, okay? To use this. And He desires that all of us to walk in the Spirit, because God is Spirit, and so if we walk in the Spirit, we can walk with Him, all right? But in the flesh, we cannot please God. We can't communicate with God if we are in the flesh, but in the Spirit, we can, okay? Can you see now this salvation? It's like a key that gives us now an entrance into what God has in righteousness, in the Spirit, and in holiness, and all that. Amen? All right? So don't go back to the comfy zone or the fun, all right, that will cause our life, but now let's walk in this newness of life. Amen? All right. Then there is this thing about, we are also then saved into His family. So He brought us, even though we didn't know this, but before we had Christ, we are all alone, because we had no one that could really do anything for us if we were to leave this earth. But now that when we are saved into His body, which is His family, so we all are covenanted with Him and also with one another here. So now all of us are safe into this family. Amen? So again, we were saved from something and then put into something better. And we all have this family that we need to remember. Amen? And when God says that for all of us to have the unity in the Spirit, why? It's because one Spirit, when we were baptized together into this, all of us are baptized into one purpose. One Spirit of God, one body. Amen? And all of us are meant to be working together. Yeah, no more our own thinking, no more our own mindset, but we are baptized into, or we've been saved into this new hope, if you will, new purpose in life that is only one for all of us, but all of us function differently, but in the end, it all leads to one ultimate purpose. Amen? Isn't that great? Yeah, because before this, all of us are wandering alone. We don't know what to do, what is my purpose on earth and all this. But now that we are safe into his family, because it's a family, it's one body. So this body is heading into just one direction now. Amen? And this is what it means to be safe. Okay? Again, this heart of the Savior, I've just been discovering this. It's like saying it's not just about the issue of sin. But after this issue of sin is solved, what then are we going into? It's a great, great purpose, amen, for all of us. All right. Everyone say with me, know him as our Savior. And I hope that, you know, let me just declare this then. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we truly declare right now in Jesus' name that each of us have a new revelation as you as our Savior and what we are saved from and safe into, O Lord. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray for a spirit of revelation that we begin to understand more and more about our salvation, about our purpose, even our new purpose in life, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay? So that is about God as our Savior. Now, the next one, because we are also known as child of God or sons of God, the other thing is that we understand him as our Father. And what is the heart of the Father? I'll just break it into three. Is a father always protects, a father always provides, and a father always wants us to progress. Okay? Now, where I got that from is one of the prayer that we, a prophetic word that we receive is this, right? It's called extraordinary protection, provision, and progress. And you see that is truly the heart of God, that he wants us to be protected at all times, not just from dangers, like when, you know, when bad things happen, then suddenly we see the protection, but protection at all times. Provision is the same, not just provision during lack, but can we see that he actually has been providing at all times? And I use this analogy in our life group, was that, you know, a son in the house, right, if he, every day he goes to the fridge, oh, there's food, right, he take. Every day he goes to the fridge, oh, there's food, right? He, at that time, say many, many days, he doesn't see, quote unquote, the provision of the father. When does he just realize? When there is no, say, no milk in the fridge, then he's like, Dad, can you go buy milk? Then he, if that is the only time he see the provision of the father, then oh, that's bad, right? Can you see what the context I'm trying to say? For all of us, sometimes we also see it this way. When things go bad and we ask, when we pray, God, and then God brings the miraculous provision, and if that's all we thank God for, means that act, right, that wow, miraculous act, then we don't understand the heart of God that he provides all the time. All right, it's just that maybe we just realize at that time, but doesn't mean that he never provided. Yeah, so this thing, that's why it just brings me this life group lessons that we have, you know, about, now, not say the acts are not important, not say that is no good, but how do we use that to understand the heart of God or the nature of God, all right, or knowing him as our Father, yeah? And then the last one is the progress. It's about then God wants us to be better and better and better person, okay? He didn't save us so that we can be the same, all right? When we are saved here, he wants us to progress and come into his destiny. And that's where we talk about promotion. Promotion for what? Right? In the end, what is that all for? Right? So I'll go into it as we go through. Okay? Are you all still with me? Yeah. All right? Are you still alive? Yeah? Do you all still want to know God? Okay, so knowing God as our Father who protects, so here we see David's heart that from the act of how God delivered him from lions and bears, he understood that God is always with him, and so he will provide him. And so he will protect him. So when he goes out to meet Goliath, he has this confidence that if God is with me, he will protect me. Yeah? So that also same for us, that whatever testimony we have about protection, let's have this testimony to bring it into knowing God for who he is. Amen? All right. And then Psalms 138, you can just take down the verses there. It's all talking about God's protection, God being with us, God delivering us. Okay? Now, the next one is knowing God as our Father who provides. So about protects then. Now, how does that apply to us as identity as a son? Hopefully, this shows that because my Father in heaven always is protecting me, then hopefully I am always safe and secure in the hands of my Father. All right, so I want to bring this two aspects. All right, we've been focusing a bit on Son of God, you know, being a son and all that, but sometimes if we forget who the Father is, then we lose that identity as a son. Okay, so that's what I'm doing. As even like the Savior and the person who is being saved, it's like there should be this two-way. All right, there is the Savior who saves us. Then what is now our responsibility as the person who have been saved? Okay, so same as a God who protects. Then for us, hopefully, we have this thing about having security and safe in God's arms, right? And that's why whenever David is in trouble, he knew the first person he can go to is God, because it's God who protects. The next one is a God who provides. So here, So here it says that in Ephesians 1:11, so this is about about obtaining an inheritance. Let me just read that. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So here, God doesn't just provide for, quote-unquote, our daily needs, just the basic. He actually wants to provide us more or what we need for greater things in life. Yeah? So the two verses down there is about, you know, don't worry, God provides for us. But can we see more than that? That God just doesn't provide us so that we are alive, per se, okay? But he will provide everything we need in order to come up to this position of being the Son of God, of Most High, or being the Prince of God, that we need to fulfill our destiny. Can we see more than that? Can we see that, yes, we take into this being thankful, having a spirit of thanksgiving for all that he's done, but can we then also depend on him or ask him to desire more to provide the things that we need to grow? Yeah? Can you see that? Yes, God is someone who's provide, but after we receive the basic things, can we look further than that? Can we then depend on him to say, God, if this is my destiny, right, am I able to trust God that when I step into this, he will provide us to go the higher things? Amen? All right? So again, here, it's not just safe and secure, then stop. It's not just say, oh, thank you, God, for, you know, being alive, having food. But then, can then you go, oh, because of that, now I want to go more. Now I really want to understand what is it that God wants me to do. Amen? All right. And this is where it comes into the last one, where knowing God as our Father who wants us to progress. Okay? In Psalms 32:8, where he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So we always take this as, oh, God just instruct me and teach me. But have we ever think about where what is it for? Right? The teaching and the counsel, the instruction, what is it for? Is it just understand the Bible? Or is it just knowing how to pray? Is it just knowing all the basic things in terms of church? Yes, that's all needed. But obviously there is a destination, a greater destination that he wants all of us to go. Yeah? And this higher place that we are meant to be going to, which I'll go into next. All right, and the other one here in Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know, he desires that all of us to be perfected. Right? Maybe I'll read that. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God always wants us to be transformed. Transform again, if we think about the word transform into what? Right? There is a greater destiny for all of us. So there is this thing about the Father's heart about us to be better and better in our walk with Him, to increase. But we need to know where we are increasing to. Okay? But firstly, know that whatever instruction and teaching and correction that comes, all of us has this purpose about us being perfected. Right? Because if we don't see that, if we don't see a father who corrects us, or in the Bible it says, whom the father loves, he corrects. Right? If we don't see that, then whenever we face a correction or a discipline, we may take it wrongly. We may take it as, this is a bad day, right? But instead, we should take it as, this is this relationship that I have with my father. He wants me to be better now. Yeah? Just as we can see in the natural, a father always wants the son to be better and better. Right? If he is going the wrong way, he will be corrected. Right? What more here for our Heavenly Father as well? And who does he use to correct us? Right? It's in summary, it's just our delegated authorities, right? Our pastors, our parents, right? All these things, it's all to build us up to go towards this purpose. Right? And if we don't understand the heart of God, we may fail to see this. We may fail to see that hard times or difficulties or corrections or whatever you call it, then we don't see that that is for our benefit to grow. Amen? So hopefully when we see this heart of God who wants us to progress as a father would for his son, then let's take it to heart that whenever any instruction or correction comes, we receive it with grace and go, I need to change. I need to change because obviously I'm not doing it the right way. I'm not heading the right way. I need to change. Amen? All right? And receive this to heart. And then, hopefully, then we come into the next level where we know God as our King. So here, as I said, this is truly what my experience is as I walk in this Christian life, is that firstly, when I first met Christ, truly I just know him as my Savior. I just was really grateful that, wow, these promises that he, in terms of heaven, streets of gold, like, you know, wow, it's very good stuff, yeah? But then it was very limited in terms of, because it feels like I will only receive, quote-unquote, receive the benefits when I leave this earth. So there's this really far. Then as we go in more and more into the Word, then I realize, oh, right, I told you from believer to disciple to and then to becoming son, then I realize if I'm a son or a child of God, then I have a father. What does this father want me to do? Right? So I see this heart here. If I know him as my father, then I should be secure. I should know that he always provides. No matter what happens, all things work together for those who love God, right? And then, but sometimes we have quote-unquote bad days as well, right? In church, or like things don't work out, or we get corrected for something or get disciplined for something, then feel a bit discouraging. But if when I understand the whole context about God is a father who corrects, especially those that he loves, then it gives me an encouragement. And then the next phase was this about, you know, taking authority and taking the name of, it's like, wow, this is like next level thing already. Yeah. And this one here, then I realized it's about knowing God as our king, because he wants us to be kings and priests, which means to rule and reign together with him, to partner with him. So here again, I was like, wow, this is a great revelation. To me, at that time, it was a great revelation. Like, God actually wants me to be, not to misquote, but be as powerful as him. Or, not say this, to use the authority he's given to me and exercise it on earth. Wow, that, to me, that is such a great revelation, but I still don't understand fully. But as we went to like the conference in Moa, that's basically what they talk about. It's like, how do you bring this authority now you have from heaven and releasing it on earth? It's not your own authority. It's just that you, as the son of the Most High King, just taking that authority and applying it here on earth. So I was like, wow. Okay, this is one of the things that I just began to realize, you know, what it really means when we sing Jesus is victorious, you know, we have the victor living in me, you know. Why we sing all that? Is it just for my own, you know, I win what? What is that, a competition? Or is that, can you see, I'm just sharing a bit of my testimony here. When I received this revelation as God as my king, so I'm a prince, and he desires that we ought to be kings and priests and reigning on earth, and, you know, being seated with him in the heavenly places, what is all that for? Yeah? So, when we understand all this, then, when we understand God is our king, right? The entrance is when we got our salvation. We are entered into this destiny. Then, the God, our Father, grooms us, right? Using delegate authorities or any situation, circumstances, to come to this ultimate aim that he wants us to rule and reign with him. Amen. And I hope that this, when we understand who God is, then we understand who we are in God. Amen. And this is basically the heart of my message today, is as the Son of God, let us desire to know more about our God, or know our Father, all right? And after knowing more and more about who our Father in heaven is, then hopefully we begin to translate it to ourselves. We know who ourselves are as sons of God. Okay? So that we are not always going back and forth, like, you know, like they say, if you have not grounded in truth, then any winds or any storms will just move us around. Hopefully, like David, who know who his God is, that during times of trials, he can just hook on to God and strengthen himself. Amen? And that's the heart of what we want for all of us, that as we go through this life group lessons and the activities and all that, it's not just fun activities that we forget. It's something you really have to apply into your life. Something that I'm applying in my life. Yeah? Amen? And then the other thing is, when we receive as a son all the authority, all the power, all the provisions, then what is it for, right? And the ultimate purpose is basically to make the Father known to others. So once we know the Father, then we make him known outside, yeah? And our best example is, we always say we want to be like Jesus, right? So what did Jesus do, you know? And here in the prayer in John 17, Jesus said, I have made known to them your name. I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. So Jesus, whatever he was doing, either healing or setting people free, the ultimate aim was to make the Father known. So when we talk about promotion and blessing and things like that, what was all that for? Is to make the Father known. Everyone say with me, making the Father known. Okay, and then here, In John chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." So again, so when we pray this prayer, "Let Christ be formed in me," we want to be more and more like Jesus. Do we really know what we are praying? Yeah, do we know what we are desiring? So all of this hopefully makes us excited about who we are as sons of God, right? Because we are son of the Most High King. But also, it makes us then thinking, wow, I've got so much things to do. Maybe there are things that are not right in our life. There are things that are we are not aligning towards this purpose of being sons of the Most High King. So it comes back to this individual responsibility as well. Because God can have the destiny for us, have that potential, but our responsibility is that we need to work it out, and go into it. Amen? So that's why today the focus is almost, it's not about being son of God per se, but it's knowing the heart of the Father so that we establish ourselves as sons of God. Amen? As child of God. So let's pray that this will be realized in each and every one of us, that we have a greater level revelation of the Father, of God as King, and who we are as sons of God and as prince or kings on the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I declare right now, Lord, that each and every one of us has received a new revelation of you, Lord. And Lord, as we receive this new revelation, that it will cause us and stir our hearts, Lord, to change and to move into this destiny that you have provided for us and you have created and you have made for his church, Lord. And Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I declare that each and every one of us will have a hunger and thirst to know you more and more and to seek after your righteousness, O Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, that may we not be the same. Lord, that as we understand our identity as sons of God, Lord, that we will move into being that kings and priests to co-rule and reign with you here on earth, Lord. Like we really understand what it means to be the son of the King. Right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I declare for each and every one of us, let there be extraordinary protection, provision, and progress, Lord. Let each of us progress into the ultimate destiny that you have for us. And Lord, may we never fall back, never go back into bondage, but we will keep walking in this freedom, using this freedom to walk in the Spirit, to walk in righteousness. Right now, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we have the worship team? Maybe let's sing that, "To Be Like Jesus." Hallelujah.